it's kind of fitting to be ground level this morning. I'm actually cool with this. This actually works out for me today. We are almost through all this stuff in Mark chapters 3-6. We're coming down the home stretch here. I know it's been a long series. It's not even been a series. I called it a season, right? Been a bunch of these things, but y'all been all right? Very encouraged, amen. This morning I want to talk about little becomes much. Little becomes much. Little becomes much. How many of you know what a mustard seed is? All right. Now here comes the trick question. How many of y'all learned what a mustard seed was in church? Okay. So you didn't learn about it in school first. You learned about it in church. And more than likely, you learned about a mustard seed this way first. It was this phrase, having the what? Faith of a mustard seed, right? Okay. So, I want everybody to do something. I need full participation because, you know, we are an interactive church. I want you to take your thumb and your index finger, and I want you to put them together and in some slight circular motion, if you are able, just go like this. What you are feeling is what would amount to the size of mustard seed. Mustard seed is almost invisible. Almost. It's so small that if you weren't paying attention to it, you could only really know what it was by being between your fingers. So whenever you hear Jesus talking about a mustard seed, this is a significant thing because it is to give an idea that it doesn't take much to become much. It don't take much to become much. It don't take much for things to happen. It don't take that much faith for things to happen. Jesus later says, well, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you look at a mountain, tell it to not only be moved, but go into the sea, and it'll happen. Demonstrating that no matter how big a thing appears, if you got enough faith, it'll happen. Right? But I don't want to lean on that side of it because this parable is really, really good for many reasons. You know, sometimes we have our favorite stories, we have our favorite things that we like to lean towards. I like this parable because it's really only two verses. The heart of it is only two verses. And how Jesus lays it out, I'll be honest with you, when I studied it, it messed me up. Let's take a look at this thing real quick. Because I don't want anybody to miss the significance that you can find in two verses. Ready for this? Starts off with the question in verse 30, but it's 31. It is like talking about what the kingdom of God is like. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The smallest seed among garden plants, when hitting its potential, not only produces fruit or a product, but it becomes so large that it gives shade and a landing place for birds. The kingdom of God is like a seed that people would forget about in 5 seconds. But when it's, and check this out, it doesn't even compare to the seeds of other things that were grown in the garden. So it doesn't compare to other things that are in the world. It doesn't attract that attention. But when it's planted and it's taken care of, it produces at its maximum potential not only produce or a product, but shade and a landing place. Some people caught on to that. I'm going to say it one more time, because sometimes, you know, preaching hard don't get over to folk. I'm going to take a Howard Thurman approach in the first couple minutes. Is that okay?
Come on.
A mustard seed, which is the most obscure and smallest seed among garden seeds, when planted and cared for, produces at its maximum potential a product, shade, and a landing place. What am I saying? I'm saying that there is no such thing as a small beginning. Small beginnings are based upon your perception. Every seed has the opportunity to grow and maximize its potential. Every seed. But sometimes you and I are obscure seeds. We're not prominent. We're not the hottest thing going. We're not the most popular thing going. You know, people like roses, so they're going to go out, find rose bulbs and all that kind of stuff, plant roses. They like daisies, they're going to go out and plant daisies. They like certain things, and that's what they're attracted to. But the one thing that they'll overlook is the one thing that will produce in a way that it will cause more than one thing to happen. So I need everybody today, because all of us have done it, sometimes we still do it, I want us to step back and repent of the mentality of calling something small, which God has already ordained, to end up being large. In other words, don't look at a beginning as the end point.
Yes.
The beginning is just the beginning.
That's right.
It has the potential to be something great if you what? Care for it like the potential that it has. We shouted last week, shout for the sprout. The sprout is evidence of growth. But you can't even shout off the sprout first until you get a different idea about the seed. So first, I got to understand that whatever seed I have is going to be useful for the kingdom's advancement, no matter how big or small it appears to be. That means that whatever is in me is useful. And whatever you or I have, it means that we now have a responsibility to make sure that it's fostered in a way that it will reach its full potential. If you don't despise the beginning, you will see the full potential of it in the end. So here's where we go. This ain't gonna be long. It should be longer probably, but it ain't going to be long. I want to just help some folk real quick. Give us a chance to soak this in. What happens why should we not despise the small beginning? Why should I take the time to make sure that the seed is cared for? Why should I not discount the seed? One, when I make sure that I don't discount the seed, I position it to flourish. I position it to flourish. Anybody that does any gardening knows You can't put a seed in a ground that's infested with weeds. You can't put a seed in ground that is dry as all get out. You have to have conditions that are conducive to helping the seed to grow. Now, here it is. Because I know some of y'all are some great theological thinkers, and I will never, ever in my life discount your understanding of the biblical text. You may be thinking right now, well, what about when Paul writes later, some plant, some water, God gets the increase? You mentioned it last week. Yes, I did. And yes, there are some people that are supposed to plant, but wait for it. That means the environment also ought to have some people that know how to water. Everybody doesn't know how to water. There's a reason why there's not plants in my house. It could be what? Too little or too much water. I'm not a perfectionist like that. The only thing that ever prospered in my house was a tomato plant, and it worked out really, really well. It really did. It really worked out well, but I didn't have the patience to continue to what? Water and trim and do this and do that. But if I did, that would be my what? My role. My wife planted the thing in a planter, but my role would have been to have the patience to what? Water, pay attention, feed, do this, do that. Everybody has a role within the environment. Okay, prove it. You know that whole thing about the body of Christ having multiple gifts? Mm-hmm. Everybody can't preach, thank the Lord. But there are folk that know how to what? Teach. There are folk that know how to what? Oversee. There are people that have gifts of health. There are people that have all kinds of things that are necessary to the body of Christ. And here it is, every one of us that have all these different gifts, at one point, we were what? The mustard seed. So we know how to make sure that people are in the right place to grow and to flourish. Because if I look at my life, I know what it took for me to get here. And it wasn't just my mama taking me to church. It was my grandfather talking to me in the basement. It was some of the deacons at the Mount Olivet Baptist Church that took me on road trips and told me that I was somebody. It was my pastor who said, you are a strong, beautiful, intelligent black male. You are all these things and then some. There are people that what? Fed into me. So that 37 years later, I'm able to look at somebody and say, you are not going to be obscure over here, because God's got greater for you, and you need to be what? In the right place at the right time, so that you will prosper. The writer of Psalms, or the first Psalm, said what? For some tree to be planted by the rivers of water, it'll be able to bring forth fruit. In other words, we know that if you're going to be planted, you got to be planted by something that is going to cause you to always have life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Don't despise what you think you see. Mm-hmm. Can I take it one more step? Yeah. You may think you're seeing somebody that's in a broken, messed up state. Somebody that everybody says can't be used. And that's the right person. That's the right seed to be planted at the right time. Because their journey is going to teach them how to break through those things to become what others would have said they couldn't be. Be careful of what you think you see. Because the text says that the obscure seed will become fruitful, a landing place, and shade. Which leads to the second thing. Second reason why we need to make sure we don't discount the seed is because that seed will ultimately provide multiple branches of resource. What did I just say? What did I just say? Multiple branches. That seed that seemed to be obscure when planted and cared for, becomes a tree that has shade and a landing place and provision. Wow. Everybody looks at a tree and all that, like if you look at an apple tree, all the people waiting on are the apples. But they forget that if it's a well cared for tree, it can provide what? Shade and a place for birds to land. And watch this, in the midst of the landing place, give birth to something new. Your life is not just one thing. That's why I continue more than ever, for the first time in my life and the first time in my ministry, this is why I've been pressing so hard on this. I am not just your pastor. I am not just a pastor. Know what I am? I'm CJ's daddy. I'm a husband to my wife. I'm an uncle. I'm a godfather. And that's just dealing with what? Family. I'm a cousin. I'm an innovator. I'm a strategist. I'm all these different things. There is more to my life than just the one thing most people see. And most people live in this box thinking that all they are is an apple tree that produces apples. And they don't realize that your life is a whole lot more than the fruit you produce. You might be the father that can speak to another father's life when he feels like he's not doing his best. You are the mother that knows about struggle between being successful in the business world while still being what? There for your children. You are that person that has more than one branch or resource that helps somebody. That is how this thing works. You are not just here to be a paragon of righteousness so people look at you and say, oh, how holy are you? No, you are here to let people know that the fruit that's within me only came because God worked on my life and I was able to bear something. But watch this, I'm not just here so that you can see what you think I've done. I want you to understand that if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here, and I'm here to help you so that you know that if God did it for me, he can and will do it for you. I have branches. I can speak to more than one thing. Your life, I don't care what others say, your life has more than one branch that offers something to people. Quit discounting your experiences. Quit discounting where you've come from. Quit discounting your testimony. Quit discounting all that stuff. Those are the branches that are there to help somebody. That's growth. Got multiple branches of resource. Last thing, and I'm through. This might be one of the shortest messages you hear me preach here. When you don't discount the seed, it gives covering to those in need. Covering. Shade. You ready for it? You ready? You may not realize this yet, but as your branches have grown and the fruit has been produced, there's this other thing that happens on branches called leaves. And if a tree is cared for well, it has many leaves in the right season. So I'm finally getting some landscaping done in my house, and it's going to take a little bit because, you know, it just got out of hand, okay? It just got out of hand. We broke down like, hey, I need somebody to do this. So we get it right so we can, what, start all over, right? Went outside after the first hour, and it looked like a whole different place already, right? Well, my boy said to me, hey, man, I want you to see this because we took out everything we talked about over here, and wait for it. I took out these low branches on the tree that were getting in the way. So that, this is how he put it, so that we don't have to deal with anything on top, but we're making sure that the unnecessary growth is gone so that the shade is still maintained. So basically what he said was, in his own way, he pruned what was unnecessary to maintain what was necessary.
Yes.
So that whatever flies into that tree can prosper. Yes. And whenever I want to be outside in that front yard under that tree, I don't have to die. It provides shade. The tree represents an object that understands the ministry of presence. You want to find out if someone is really grown in God? Hang out with somebody who you know has a word in their mouth, and when you go to them and share what's on your heart, and they just sit with you and they don't speak.
Yes.
What do you mean? All of us don't have to have an answer for everything. Sometimes it's better to just be what? Present. That's shade. That's a covering. Everybody that comes to me does not need me to tell them what here it is, what God may have already told them. They need room to figure out what God has been telling them in the midst of what they're going through. Sometimes people just need to, just to get it out. They need to get it out so then they see it and they'll be like, I must have lost my mind, because this is what God's been telling me the whole time, and I need to figure out how to do it. And watch this. Can you pray for me?
Yes.
That's called covering.
Yes.
Everybody does. You don't need to say stuff all the time.
Yes.
You want to show growth. Just be there.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody don't need to hear stuff. I try to work that in my life, and some people don't catch it. So I hope y'all get it, so y'all understand how to roll with me. Sometimes I just want to say whatever it is that's in me.
Right.
I don't need anybody to tell me something contrary to what's in me. I just need to get it out of me, because I know in my mind it's going to be all right. I know in my heart it's going to be all right. I know in my spirit it's going to be all right. But when I'm in a struggle, I need somebody to just be what? Present. Don't tell me I'm the pastor. I know that. But I'm still a human being that goes through stuff. And if I go through stuff, my God, I know everybody in here goes through stuff. And every now and then, you just want to be somewhere, wait for it, where you can land and find shade from all the stuff you're dealing with. The church ought to be a place where shade isn't thrown, it should be received. I'm in. Stop throwing it. People need it, but they don't need what you're trying to throw. They need a place where they can land from the heat of the day, from the struggles of life. But if you want to find out if you've really grown, watch how God will send people by. And God will test your mouth. You ready to tell them that they need more faith? You ready to tell them, where's your faith? And God's looking at you the whole time like, that ain't why they came. They came because they saw something in you that I've done in you. And they want to see, are you going to take the right step and keep your mouth shut? I heard someone call it hush mouth grace. Sometimes folk are flying through life. They're riding on the wind. Birds don't just take off. They try to catch the jet stream. And they soar. But after a while, you get tired. And you need a place to land. I want to prosper, but I don't know how. I want to birth something, but I don't know where. Is it possible that God has called you to be a fruitful, advanced, resource-filled tree that is present. Because you see, trees don't talk back to birds. Trees only talk in cartoons. Trees don't talk back to birds. Birds chirp. We don't understand all the stuff, but a tree is just present. So, are you ready to grow? Are you ready to stop looking at yourself and saying, I ain't got nothing? Are you ready to look at yourself and know that God has put in you everything that is necessary to not only prosper, but to advance the kingdom? Don't look at what has not yet happened. Look at what has occurred. You're growing in grace. Folk don't see you, that's okay. In due time, they will have no choice. Because the text says, the mustard seed, when planted, is the smallest seed among all garden seeds. But when it comes forth, will be larger than any other plant in the garden, with branches that will be provided for the bird to land and provide shade. Don't compare your purpose to anybody else. Don't compare your journey to anybody else. Stop trying to align your stuff and see why is this not happening or that not happening. It's because God knew where to plant you. And if you let God work, and if you let yourself be what? Watered by those that are positive and fed by those that know the word of faith and know the word of God. And if you allow yourself to be built up in fellowship, I promise you, you will reach your maximum potential. So don't give up. Don't stop. Don't look around and think that nothing's happening. I'm speaking this over my own life. Stuff is happening. Just let God work. It's going to happen. Watch God work. It will continue to happen. Watch God work. God is doing it. But I gotta be ready. God's doing it here. But guess what? You gotta be ready. Because when they see us, they may say, where did they come from? And God will say, I've been working on them the whole time.